Culture.
Book Review. American Politics. The Center Did Not Hold. Two new books trace the Republican Party's rightward march. Nelson Rockefeller's Dilemma by Marcia Barrett and Reagan by Max Boot.
When Gerald Ford accepted the Republican Party's nomination for president at the convention in 1976, he stood literally between the party's past and future. He shook hands with the future, standing on his right, Ronald Reagan, the challenger he narrowly defeated. To his left, the past, Nelson Rockefeller, the vice president whom Ford dropped from the ticket, dutifully cheered. Ford would go on to lose to Jimmy Carter that autumn. 4 years later, Reagan would win the nomination and the first of his two landslide general election victories. Rockefeller, meanwhile, would leave public life and die in 1979. Two new books assess the legacies of the men flanking Ford. In Nelson Rockefeller's Dilemma, Marcia Barrett, a historian at the University of Illinois, analyses the decline of the strain of liberal republicanism that the former New York governor represented. In Reagan, Max Boot, a historian who advised John McCain, Mitt Romney and Marco Rubio before breaking with his party over Donald Trump, delves into the life of the screen star turned president and asks, did Reaganism contain the seeds of Trumpism? Both books grapple with the party's rightward shift and, read together, offer a clever way of considering the most important figure in recent Republican history, Mr. Trump. Rockefeller was the grandson of John D. Rockefeller, one of the world's richest men. When he first ran for president in 1960 as a civil rights advocate, America's two parties and its electorate were not as ideologically polarized as they are today. Democrats included pro-union urban northerners and southern segregationists in their ranks. Because Abraham Lincoln was a Republican and won America's Civil War, white southerners were almost uniformly Democrats. Republicans included New England moderates, agrarian pragmatists, and fervent anti-communists. Both parties had supporters and opponents of federal civil rights legislation. Just 1 year before Rockefeller became New York's governor, Dwight Eisenhower, a Republican president, enacted the first major civil rights legislation in over 80 years. His Democratic successor, John F. Kennedy, pushed for more ambitious measures, and Rockefeller was one of a number of liberal northeastern Republicans who, Ms. Barrett suggests, gained outsized national prominence as likely presidential candidates for a defensive Republican Party. Liberal Republicans had made peace with a more powerful federal government and sought to bring the rest of their party along. But another wing of the party offered an alternative. Barry Goldwater, a senator from Arizona, opposed civil rights legislation at least as strongly as Rockefeller championed it, and was initially seen as too far to the right to win the nomination in 1964. He proved doubters wrong. Though Lyndon Johnson soundly beat him in the general election, his position attracted disaffected Southern Democrats. That same year, Republicans gained House seats across the South for the first time in almost a century. Rockefeller, having lost the nomination to Goldwater, turned sharply rightward, championing harsh criminal justice laws in New York. Ms. Barrett portrays this shift as an effort to adapt to a changing party. If it was a gambit, it failed. Richard Nixon won the nomination in 1968, and though Rockefeller was elected to one last term as governor in 1970, his patricianism poorly suited an increasingly populist party. Goldwater's rightward turn inspired Reagan as surely as it buried Rockefeller. But Reagan had an advantage the snarling Goldwater lacked. People liked him. He was a peerless communicator with a perpetually sunny disposition, which served him well against Mr. Carter and Walter Mondale, the excessively earnest Democrats he trounced in 1980 and 1984. Democrats considered him an amiable dunce, mistaking his aversion to nuance. America was a shining city on a hill, while the Soviet Union was an evil empire, for simple-mindedness. In fact, he was a voracious reader with a photographic memory, quick wit and shrewd political instincts. He inspired devotion from staffers and trust from voters, even though he had no close friends aside from his wife, Nancy, and was emotionally distant even from his own children, Mr. Boot notes. This remoteness has frustrated previous biographers, but Mr. Boot responds with doggedness, evoking Reagan's early life in small-town Illinois, college years and early forays into politics. Mr. Boot is a gifted enough writer to prevent this accretion of detail from becoming a slog, and Reagan's apparent lack of an inner life becomes a benefit. It keeps the focus on his actions, which matter far more than a politician's thoughts or feelings. Though his rhetoric may have been uncompromising, his actions, Mr. Boot convincingly argues, were deeply pragmatic. That's what made him so effective when his party never fully controlled Congress. But he also courted segregationists and homophobes for political benefit, even though he professed to hold no prejudice. On the question of whether Reaganism led inexorably to Trumpism, Mr. Boot is equivocal. Both men prided themselves on their deal-making, promised to make America great again, mishandled pandemics, AIDS and COVID-19, and gave false statements, hardly a rarity for politicians. He ended up concluding that both Reagan and Trump were a product of the hard right turn the GOP had taken in 1964 by nominating Barry Goldwater, the same figure who pushed Rockefeller off stage. He's not wrong, but the book could have used a bolder conclusion, just as Ms. Barrett's book could have acknowledged that Rockefeller was neither the first nor the last politician to pander in an effort to gain power. Recall how Kamala Harris flailed leftward in her presidential campaign in 2019. These two books document Republicans' rightward shift more than they seek to explain it. But perhaps that's because the explanation is simple. The party moved right because that's where the votes were.